You know, we've all heard the noise, right? AI is going to revolutionize coding.
Oh, absolutely. It's everywhere.
It's going to make you faster. It's going to write better comments, all of that. The whole conversation is just saturated with this idea of the AI assistant, the
It's
copilot.
about.
Exactly, the copilot, this, you know, smart helper sitting next to a human developer.
And that's the comfortable model for sure. It
What?
positions AI as a sort of specialized search engine that can write some boilerplate for us.
Right. It speeds up what we were already going to do.
It keeps the human firmly in the driver's seat as the, the doer.
Exactly. But what if that whole premise is just completely backward? What if the AI isn't the assistant, but it's the primary workforce?
Now that's a different conversation.
What if the human's job isn't to do the work, but to be the architect, the strategist, and, well, the final approver? That inversion is what we're diving into today.
And this isn't just theory. This deep dive is based on real-world insights from an actual AI native software development lifecycle, an
Right.
SDLC.
And for high-stakes industries too, highly regulated ones.
Right, so this is way beyond academic papers. This is what's happening in practice.
So our mission today is to unpack the five most impactful and I think really counterintuitive truths that come out when you start treating AI agents as the default implementer of software.
So if you're out there wondering how your job is actually going to change, these five truths are basically your blueprint.
Okay, so let's jump in with the first big one, which you've called the great role reversal. We just said the human is the doer and the AI is the helper.
And this flips it completely. The AI agents become the default workforce. They are the hands on the keyboard.
So what does that actually mean day to day?
While the policy is absolute, AI agents are the default for drafting specifications, for generating the code, and for enhancing the implementations. You can sort of picture the AI as this massive, tireless pool of junior engineers.
A junior engineer pool. I like that.
They generate the full stack applications, they draft the architectural diagrams, create the test suites, all of it based on what the human specifies.
Okay, but wait a second. If the AI is generating, you know, the vast majority of the code, why even have a traditional pull request, a PR process?
That's a critical question.
Doesn't a human code review just create this huge bottleneck where there wasn't one before?
It would if you were reviewing for the wrong things. The AI's work is submitted as a PR, yes, but the human isn't checking for a misplaced semicolon.
That's the AI's job.
Exactly, the human is reviewing intent. Only a human has the authority to actually merge the code because their job has been elevated to a pure governance layer.
So we're not looking for bugs, we're looking for what? A strategic failure?
Precisely. The human's authority is reserved for things the AI absolutely cannot do. Business decisions, final architectural approval, signing off on design choices.
Release authorization.
Release authorization, handling exceptions, you govern the what and the why, and you let the AI worry about the how.
It's a complete professional inversion. It suggests that the most valuable skill isn't knowing a programming language inside and out, but being a master of specification.
And high-level critical thinking.
Which, okay, if the human job is all about writing that perfect spec, that brings us right to a really counterintuitive truth. In a world that's obsessed with agile.
Iterate fast, fail
Right.
fast.
Truth number two is this contract-first mandate. It sounds like extreme rigidity right up front.
It sounds like heresy to a lot of modern developers, I know, but it's a necessary trade-off.
Why?
If you want deterministic, large-scale code generation, meaning you hit go and you get the exact predictable result every single time, you have to have a lockdown blueprint.
So fuzzy input means.
Fuzzy input means a non-deterministic, unreliable output. The rigidity is what enables the determinism.
So there's a hard gate, a mandatory point in the project before code gets generated. The source calls it the contract freeze.
Or SCG1, Software Checkpoint Gate 1.
And what happens if you hit that gate and you're not ready? If you don't have all the artifacts.
The project stops. Simple as that. No code generation starts. No resources are allocated for implementation. That gate locks down the entire system blueprint, and that blueprint becomes the single machine-readable source of truth for the AI.
That instruction set has to be incredibly detailed, then. It's not just a couple of mock-ups.
Oh, it's total commitment. We're talking finalized Figma UI designs, a formal UI contract detailing every single interaction, the full architecture pack, a complete open API spec,
The whole thing.
the whole thing, an API to store procedure map, the database plan, the test plan, all of it has to be stable, frozen.
So you're making this enormous architectural bet right at the start. You're trading, what, months of potential coding time for weeks of hyper-detailed planning.
That's the trade.
But the risk seems huge.
Right.
If you get that business logic wrong in the contract,
you might waste a lot of that upfront specification effort. That's true. But you take that risk because of the payoff. You're making an investment in the what that unlocks this, I mean, almost magic level of automation.
And this is where it gets really, really interesting. That painful rigidity pays off immediately with truth number three, the full stack payoff.
This is the practical result of that model. The moment the contract is frozen, the transition from design to a full stack production ready app is entirely automated.
So the whole labor intensive part of translating a visual design into code,
it's just gone, eliminated. The finalized Figma designs are the input, and the output is a complete working application ready for that human governance team to review.
And we're not talking about a simple prototype here. The source is very explicit about the depth of this. This system generates a full modern stack.
Right down to the details. The automated output includes a high-performance backend like a .NET 8 web API.
Okay.
The front end, often a React 18 and TypeScript application. And crucially, the entire database layer. It generates all the needed SQL Server scripts.
All of them, like tables and...
table schemas, stored procedures, seed data, the works.
Wow. The idea that a machine can translate a visual design into a fully connected three-tier app, including the database, is, that's monumental.
It saves months of manual coding time. It kills most of the coordination errors between front-end, back-end, and DB teams. But it raises a really important question for you, the listener.
Which is?
If the implementation is basically guaranteed, your job becomes making sure your specifications are flawless. You have to be radically better at defining the requirement.
That sets us up perfectly for the next part, the quality discussion. If the AI is generating everything, how is quality enforced? Is it just assumed?
Not at all. And that brings us to truth number four. Quality is not an afterthought, it is a prerequisite.
So you're shifting quality left.
Dramatically left. It's designed into the process flow, not inspected in later. The system makes it literally impossible to proceed if you don't meet certain standards.
And this is where we get some fantastic specific examples. My favorite is the five states per screen rule.
It's a perfect example of preemptive quality assurance. It's a hard gate that applies directly to the Figma designs.
Right at the very beginning.
Every single UI screen, every major component, must have explicit design variants for five distinct states. Loading, empty, partial, full, and error.
And if they're missing.
The code generation for that component just fails. It won't build.
That sounds like a massive amount of extra work for the designer, though. Aren't they getting burned out having to think through all of that?
That's the friction point, isn't it? It is more overhead for the designer. They have to think beyond the happy path way earlier. But the trade-off is exponential.
How so?
By forcing the human designer to anticipate edge cases and failure states before code even exists, you eliminate an entire class of bugs in, you know, this frantic post-launch patches later on.
Sure.
It's an investment that pays for itself in system stability, big time.
And that standard is maintained across the whole stack, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned a mandatory check that stops those really frustrating runtime bugs.
Right. The mandatory DTO model matching rule. DTO's data transfer objects have to exactly match the domain models, property names, types, everything.
We've all been there. The three-hour debug session just to find a field was named slightly different.
Exactly. Those tiny, tedious human errors that just eat up developer hours. In this system, AI agents automatically validate that match at multiple points. By making it an automatic gate, they prevent that entire class of bug from ever even entering the system. Quality becomes preemptive design validation, not reactive bug fixing.
Which leads us perfectly to the final, and I think maybe the most surprising, truth. Truth number five. The job isn't done at go live. The AI actually sticks around.
Yeah, for cleanup and optimization.
That's wild.
Most teams, you know, they celebrate go live, they take a breath, and they immediately pivot to the next big feature.
Leaving all the technical debt behind from the thing they just shipped.
Right. This SDLC fundamentally disagrees with that. It has a mandatory final phase called closeout and telemetry pruning.
Pruning. So after the application is stable in production, the AI agents are sent in to hunt for waste.
That's it, exactly. The AI's job shifts from building to monitoring and auditing. It analyzes production telemetry logs, performance metrics, usage data to find anything that was built for the launch but isn't actually being used.
Can you give us some specific examples of the kind of waste it's hunting for?
Absolutely. It targets code and database objects that are demonstrably orphaned. Things like database stored procedures that are defined but never actually called by the API.
Okay, I can see that.
API endpoints that have zero traffic after a few months, or even temporary shims, test endpoints, feature flags that you needed for the release but are now just cluttering up the code base.
So it's technical debt reduction, but it's handled automatically by this persistent auditing system.
It's a self-healing, continuous optimization loop. It fundamentally changes the maintenance profile of the software. The AI generates a pruning proposal outlining the obsolete parts, and then it automatically creates backlog items for the human architects to approve the cleanup.
So the AI doesn't just build the system. It actively works to reduce its own complexity and maintenance burden over time.
That is what a truly mature, automated software lifecycle looks like.
This whole system, it's just a masterclass in re-architecting how we create software, moving from manual coding to deep, deep automation.
And it's all enabled by this extreme standardization we talked about, from that contract freeze all the way to the post-live pruning.
But the most important takeaway here is what it means for the human role.
Right. It's not about replacement. It's about a radical elevation of duties. Humans move away from the mundane work of implementation and entirely into high-level strategy, critical review, and governance.
You're focused only on maximizing business value and ensuring architectural soundness.
Your most valuable skills are no longer about being the fastest coder, but about being the clearest communicator of intent and the sharpest architect of business logic.
And that really leaves us with the central challenge that this whole model presents. It's something for you, the listener, to really think about after this deep dive is done.
As AI increasingly masters the how of building software, the syntax, the boilerplate, the deployment steps, are we as technologists and business leaders prepared to get radically better at defining the what and the why?
Food for thought. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the future of AI-native software. We'll see you next time.